We have got game one of the best of three Women's College World Series Championship Finals coming away from Oklahoma City. Our coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back here to another hour of Get Up. We come to you, as always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Greeny, and we are jam-packed. Here we go with the menu for hour number two this morning. It is time to get up with the first day of the rest of your life in Green Bay. The work is mandatory. The quarterback isn't coming. What happens now? Shefty's got the answers. Then to Tampa, live, where Tom Brady begins yet another quest for unprecedented glory. We'll go live there with Tom Brady on the field and the Monday Night Massacre. Should we just give the crown to KD and company right now? All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now, with mandatory mini camps beginning today, including the world champions, the Buccaneers, on the practice field, looking to become the 9th repeat champs in NFL history. The last team to do it was quarterbacked by Tom Brady in the early 2000s. The Giants are at practice today, hoping to end a 4-year playoff drought with Daniel Jones under center. They signed Kenny Golladay. They have Saquon Barkley back from injury as well. Also returning to full strength are the Cowboys. Dak Prescott back with a new 4-year, $160 million extension after suffering a compound fracture in his ankle last October. And then, of course, the Packers, the center of all of the drama. They expect to be without Aaron Rodgers. Our Adam Schefter reporting that Green Bay does not expect Rodgers to attend their 3-day minicamp, which starts today. Rodgers liable to be fined upwards of $90,000 for that absence. And here is Adam Schefter. And Schefter, for those who were just joining us, what is the way that someone you spoke to described Aaron Rodgers' mentality as of right now?
They said, as of right now, Greeny, Aaron Rodgers is quote unquote strong as hell on this particular issue. Now, again, we look for little hints and morsels of information that allow us to read the tea leaves and where it's at today. And where it's at today sounds very discouraging if you're the Green Bay Packers and you're hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back for the mandatory minicamp and beyond. He's not going to be back there today. There are no plans to report. Obviously, he would miss the mandatory minicamp for the very first time in his career. He's already missed and skipped the OTAs, costing him a $500,000, $500,000 workout bonus that he's not going to collect. Usually was a regular participant in that. Obviously, he's never missed a mandatory minicamp. Is now willing to be subjected to $93,000 of fines that the Green Bay Packers will have to ask themselves, are we better off fining our future Hall of Fame quarterback or not inflaming an already inflamed situation and letting that go? And so, in my mind, I think that they'll say that this is an excused absence. Therefore, Rodgers will not be subject to the $93,000 worth of fines. I'm also told that the team president, Mark Murphy, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, have at least discussed and planned to try to go visit him again to try to convince him to come back to Green Bay sometime after the mini camps. Again, no firm plans, no firm date set, but those discussions have occurred, and we'll see whether they follow through on that to try to go yet again to try to accomplish what they've been unable to accomplish throughout the offseason, which is to bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay, which, again, brings us back to the initial statement that right now Aaron Rodgers is, quote, strong as hell in his stance of where he's at.
And so just to make that 1,000% clear, though, for everyone who has not been following this every day, he's strong as hell on his stance that he is demanding a trade? Is it as simple? That's what he's strong as hell on?
No, I think he's strong as hell in his feelings about the organization and not wanting to play there. He hasn't demanded anything. He hasn't said anything like that. He hasn't said he's retiring. Again, we're not at that level yet. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to get there at the start of training camp or another point this summer. But he has not changed his feelings, which, again, are reflected in his actions. Didn't go to OTAs, not going to mandatory minicamps, has not taken part in the virtual offseason program as well that he participated in at some point last year. So, again, all the things that he did do before, doing none of them right now.
All right, that's fair. Let me bring Teddy and Tim in here. And, Shefty, stay with us because I want to have everyone in this conversation. Where am I? Here I am. Okay, so Teddy, let me start with you because that distinction feels important to me. The difference between being strong as hell about demanding a trade and strong as hell about not wanting to play there, I know that may sound like I'm sort of parsing words, but there is a difference. because the second one of those sounds like it's something that could theoretically be worked through if they try super hard. Shefty's already shaking his head at me, but let me start with you, Teddy. Does that feel to you like something someone could try and work through?
Yeah, I can tell you how I feel, but the feelings are really the important of Aaron Rodgers. And it's no matter what situation it is, I don't want to play, I don't like you, or I want you to trade me. It's how the quarterback feels. Something happened here to where the Green Bay Packers forgot what was most important. There are two things. You got to do what's best for the team. In today's NFL, you got to do what's best for the quarterback sometimes. And that was lost in translation in how Aaron Rodgers feels, how he was treated and how he feels. That's everything. So how do you resolve that? The Green Bay Packers are doing everything right up to this point, saying they want publicly, we want you back. We don't want to lose you. We'll come visit you. We'll send your teammates to you. All of that stuff. This is all about a public relations campaign. Also about, look at us. We're doing everything we possibly can to get him back. It's his decision. This is the way it's going to go. It's only going to get uglier from here.
Tim, what do you think?
Well, I think that I'm not positive that Aaron's stance is that he doesn't want to play in Green Bay. I think Aaron's stance is that, you know, and Adam alluded to this earlier today, he doesn't want to make some of the people that he's upset with in Green Bay look any better than he's already made them look. And so, yeah, to me, I just look at this situation for Aaron in that he wants to win a championship still. Green Bay is the best spot for that to happen. Teddy posed a question earlier saying, hey, is Aaron Rodgers the kind of guy that would say, hey, I am wrong? I'll answer it. No, he's not. But the issue is, he doesn't have to say that. I think Mark Murphy has to say it. I think Brian Gutekunst has to say it. And then I think at that point, it starts to look like Aaron Rodgers won. And as we talk about, you know, the money that he's missing, keep this in context, because sometimes I think people lose the context of how much money players have actually made. In terms of cash earnings for Aaron Rodgers, he has already made over $240 million, or right around that number, playing football. You know, sometimes when guys sit out and forego a $500,000 signing bonus and they've made $30 million, that's a much different situation than foregoing, you know, a workout bonus when you've already pocketed about $240 million playing.
Absolutely. So he doesn't need this, but he wants it. Shefty, put a ribbon on this thing. What should we be thinking about today?
Well, Tim's right. You know, again, the money, it's just the portion, the part that these are things that he never has done before. He's never not gone to the OTAs. He's never not gone to the mandatory minicamp. He's never felt as strong as he does right now. Whatever those feelings are, and that's why, Greeny, when you're saying demanding a trade or not one, I don't know exactly what it is other than he's not happy with the organization. He doesn't want to be there. Now, how that's reflected and how it plays out, we'll see. The Green Bay Packers know they have a problem on their hands. They're trying to make plans to try to rectify it. It's a problem they've spent all offseason trying to rectify. And frankly, there's nothing more important in that entire organization, no matter what they do during this mandatory minicamp, no matter what they do the rest of the offseason, no matter what they do before training camp, than making sure their quarterback comes back. And they right now don't know how to do that.
Exactly right. So that is the situation they are in on the first day of their minicamp. Now, let's juxtapose that to the absolute opposite. Nothing could be more different than the situation the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in on their first day of mandatory minicamp, which is going on today. They, of course, won the Super Bowl last year. They, of course, brought back all of their starters. They, of course, are bringing back the celebrated Tom Brady, who now seems to be healthier than he was a year ago. And so right now, they are literally the living embodiment in football of kumbaya. That is Rob Gronkowski, the superstar tight end who is working on the practice field as we speak right now in Tampa. So the Buccaneers are back as they begin their quest to try and repeat as champions. And I do believe I have Sal Palantonio standing by live as he is covering their practice today. And let us see as we bring Sal into the conversation here. Sal, from the folks, there he is. Oh, look at him. Look at him in the shades, looking awfully comfortable down there in sunny Florida. Sal, what are you hearing from the Buccaneers as they look to get back to the Super Bowl here?
Well, Michael, first of all, we sent the text last night that we wanted to go live on the practice field, and I said it's for Mike Greenberg and Get Up, so can we please get an invitation to go live on the practice field? And they said, of course, for this show, we will do that. And so here we are. This is the first mandatory minicamp, and the mindset is repeat as Super Bowl champions. And I texted Bruce Arians last night, and I asked him, okay, all the talk is repeating as Super Bowl champions. What's the message to your football team as you take the field as a mandatory minicamp and get ready to try to repeat? And here is his rather salty answer to me. That team won the Super Bowl. This team ain't done bleep. Of course, he didn't say bleep. We got to start at the basics, and we've got to build. Now, we're waiting for Tom Brady to come out here. The quarterbacks, Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask, the rookie, is out here on the field just behind my right shoulder. And everybody else is here, but just we're waiting for Tom Brady to come out. He's not out here yet. That's a telltale sign that he's not going to be doing very much. But, you know, Bruce Arians said he's going to be doing a whole lot of coaching. But that was good enough for last year as they started out of that Super Bowl run when Brady got here to Tampa.
Absolutely, Sal. Outstanding. Let us know when things continue there. And, of course, Mike Greenberg is also an executive in the Tampa organization. Maybe that's the Mike Greenberg they thought you were talking about. Thank you, Sal. Do I still have Teddy or no? Okay, we'll come back to that as we go a little bit later. I want to pick up on that thought. We'll also get to Julio as we go. Does he make the Titans better? Does he make them elite? What could hold them back? We'll answer all those questions. And then this morning, the Packers facing their worst nightmare, live without Aaron Rodgers. What's the mood in Green Bay? We're going live there as well. Oh, we're jam-packed. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and we are about to show you live pictures of Tom Brady on the practice field for the first time as a defending Super Bowl champion in Tampa. There he is. You see him getting a little early work, and remember, the word on him is he had some work done on his knee during the offseason surgically that bothered him through a lot of last year. Apparently, they didn't let on just how much it was bothering him. And so the expectation is he should feel better, healthier, and stronger at the age of 44. Again, that is a live picture in Tampa this morning of Tom Brady at the Buccaneers' first mandatory minicamp. And since I have this crew put together today, particularly Teddy, I want to put that text back up that we just had from Sal Palantonio. Because, Teddy Bruschi, this is something you brought up. Chris, go ahead if we can. Let's put that back up there again, because Sal Palantonio showed us that he texted a question to Bruce Arians about what the mindset is in their camp about trying to repeat as Super Bowl champions this year. And the response came back from Bruce Arians, and it was, you know, an Arians speak, somewhat similar to what you would expect it to be. But, Teddy, this is something you had talked about. I do hope we have that. And can we? Are we going to get that, guys? Someone tell me if we're not. Okay, we are going to put that text back up there again. And there it is, Bruce Arians texting Sal that he said, quote, "I told them that team won the Super Bowl. This team ain't done blank. Start at the basics and build." And Teddy Bruschi, I'm thinking back to a conversation that we had on this show a little while ago where you were talking about that mentality and how critical it would be. So when you see that text, Teddy, what do you think?
You're starting off at the right step, right foot, because so much has been developed over the course of winning a championship and everything, actually the entire NFL went through last year in terms of a season through COVID. The love, the friendships, the relationships that have been forged in terms of winning a championship together. Well, now you got to sort of be a prick again. So as a head coach and let them know that they haven't done anything. And I think that's NBA. It starts with that text. It'll start the way they treat each other, because he's got to be hard. He is the most important person in terms of forming the mentality to repeat again, because he has to make them forget. And it's hard because they're having conversation amongst themselves right there on that field as you take a knee. Say Levante David and Devin White are taking a knee. It's like, man, we can go back to back. Look at Brady. He looks so much better right now than he did last year. And by the way, what do you think the ring's going to look like? All of that talk is still in your mind about getting your rings or talking about the rings and everything. It's still fresh. All right. Arians has to make it stale over and over again, and it can get redundant and it can get tiresome, because as a head coach, you love these guys, all right, because they deliver the championship, but you have to be that type of coach to let them know they haven't done bleep yet.
What do you remember about the way Bill did that when you guys were trying to go back to back, which you did on numerous occasions, and actually your team did win back-to-back Super Bowls? You're the last to do it in 03 and 04. What do you remember specifically, Teddy, about the way Bill did that?
Yeah, I have all the information.
Okay, Teddy. There's the Belichick extreme. Okay, in terms of he'll make you feel like you haven't even won a game, but I think all Arians has to do is sort of bring that to here, because it doesn't have to be as, you know, as dramatic or over the top as Bill would do, which is only he knows how to do it and he does it really well and it works. But BA is not that way. So to find his way to still have that relationship and still let them know it's all about winning the championship, and how it starts is winning the division. How that starts is winning one game at a time, then training camp and then mini camp, breaking it all down simply. That's what the head coach has to do.
All right, let me bring the rest of the team back in here again as we're looking at live pictures of Tom Brady. And Tim Hasselbeck, I will come to you if I still have you with me here. And that is, it feels to me like Brady can play an important role in that as well. It's one thing for Arians to be that way. And Brady, while he is a player, is also a 7-time Super Bowl champion and so much older than the overwhelming majority of the other players. Feels to me like he could be a part of setting that tone as well.
That's the first thing I was thinking about, Greeny. It's funny you asked me it, because I think every coach in the history of sports that's ever come off a championship has probably addressed his team the way Bruce Arians, is addressing the team, like in the same vein as that text that he sent Sal Powell of like, hey, that was last year, now it's this year. That's all great, but the team has to receive that message and take it seriously. And so, you know, I think the tone setter for that is the guy that's, you know, had more success than anybody on that roster. So his approach to it, and quite honestly, and who knows how much he'll do just even in these OTAs, but even the fact that he's coming off of a knee surgery and that he's got a helmet on and he's even participating in individual drills right now, I think gives you a little bit of a glimpse into, you know, the relentlessness of how he approaches things, which, to your point, that is probably the most important key. Is like, wait a second, if Brady's focus is still kind of, you know, laser sharp, well, then maybe the rest of us should follow suit.
Diana Russini, as you talk to people around the league about Tampa and their quest to repeat, what are the things they're saying to you?
Yeah, well, can I just actually start with some of the conversations I've had with people in Tampa? Sure. And that sentiment that Bruce Arians sent, or at least the text that he sent to Sal, is really where it starts, because any coach or player I talk to really is saying the right things in that same sense of, yeah, that was last year, this is a new year. And talking to other teams and obviously other coaches and GMs around the league about how they see the Bucs now when it comes up in conversation, look, everyone always is going to point to Tom Brady, not his ability on the field. That's not what I have conversations about. It's kind of assumed that he's good. He can play. We know he can. It's what he demands. It's what he can get players to do. It's how he can get them to adapt and hold themselves accountable. The Tom Brady way of leading is what every head coach is searching for in their locker room, which is why they have such a gem in their quarterback there, because he has that ability to get those to follow. And if Tom Brady's still going to be there, yes, this is going to fall on BA. You have Tom Brady. They will follow.
Into his age 44 season. Shefty.
Yeah, well, Greeny, this is a team, again, that brings back everybody and then some, right? You don't see Many Super Bowl teams go out, win the Super Bowl, and then manage to keep the entire roster intact. But that's exactly what Tampa did. It didn't lose anybody during free agency, not any notable starters. It gets back O.J. Howard, who was injured last year. Can you imagine how much impact a player like O.J. Howard, with his talent, his upside, could have on this offense, in addition to everybody else that's there? Chris Godwin will be back. Antonio Brown will be back. Rob Gronkowski will be back. Leonard Fournette will be back. All these players who could have gone elsewhere didn't. And you usually see Super Bowl teams rated, and you usually see the price of the players in those teams go up, and they become more valuable to other teams than they do that particular team. But in this case, the Buccaneers managed to keep together the entire team, the entire roster, the entire coaching staff. Everybody's back for another run. And yes, Tom should be healthier this year. O.J. Howard should be back. So technically, with a second year in the system, maybe they could be even better than they were last year.
And again, we're looking at live pictures. That's Brady on a practice field today for the first time. The only person unhappy with this, I'm guessing, is Phil Mickelson, who would like to see him out there practicing a little golf right now as they're getting set for another match they'll be playing against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. But again, that's our coverage from Tampa. We will have much more NFL as there are multiple teams starting their mini camps today as we go along. Last night felt much more like a coronation than a game two. Can anybody touch KD and the Nets? Jalen Rose will answer that question next, and he'll try to answer this one. Here we go, Jalen. Here's Sneaky Hembo. Of the eight remaining playoff teams, which one has won the NBA championship most recently? I think he's got it. I think he's got it. We'll find out next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up with words I've never spoken before. I think Jalen's going to get this one right. From Sneaky Hembo, of the eight remaining playoff teams, Jay, which one has won the NBA championship most recently?
I love you, Hembo, and you guys are killing it on the radio in the afternoon. We're going to get an unlikely champion this year. Six of the teams have never won the championship. The two that have, one did it when they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and that's the Bucks in the 70s. And the answer to this question is early 80s Philadelphia, 4-4-4, Dr. J and Moses Malone.
That is correct. I had it right. That Jalen had it right. The Sixers, and he is right. There are very few championships in the history of these teams that are in it. Speaking of trying to win a championship, the Nets never have. But if this thing continues like this, you might as well give it to them now. Last night, game two. Oh, look at KD working on Giannis, crossing him up. He continues to make plays. So does Kyrie Irving. We're still in the first quarter. The Nets are up by 10. The Nets would shoot 52% from the floor for this game. They had a 17-point lead after one. Oh, speaking of high percentage shots, Blake Griffin. Oh, right in the face of Giannis. Everything going the Nets' way. They lead by 21. A minute to play in the second quarter. The lead is 22. It's Durant. The Nets made 21 threes in this game. KD was 4 of 6. Nets by 24 at halftime. Third quarter, more of the same. Durant, oh, look at this little nifty move. He had 32 and didn't play the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter now, Nets in cruise control. Kyrie Irving would score 22 only because he didn't need to score more. The Nets win it by 39 in a game, and I mean this, that wasn't as close as the final score would indicate. That's right, and they won by 39. So, Jalen, I have so many questions. I kind of want to begin with Giannis. Like, this was supposed to be the Bucks' year. Kendrick Perkins was telling me last week the Bucks are going to win this series, and they've been humiliated. What happened?
I picked the Bucks also to win this series. And I was someone that wanted to believe that Giannis, the back-to-back reigning MVP, who also won Defensive Player of the Year, with the addition of Drew Holiday and Middleton playing like an all-star, like this team was going to be poised to go further this year than they've done in the past. And you touched on it, Greeny. It starts with Giannis. It starts with him struggling to shoot outside of the paint. He's 6-for-35 in these playoffs outside of the paint. 6-for-35. He's 23-of-43 from the free throw line. Mm. The game is so very tough when you can't make shots, especially your best player. And while we're highlighting Giannis offensively, let me tell you what happens when the rabbit get the gun. If you notice, it seems like KD had 50 yesterday. And it seems like Kyrie had 40. You know why? Because their buckets were loud. They were thunderous, like that Blake Griffin dunk. And you know who's in these highlights? That's Giannis right there, getting crossed up at and one by KD. That's Giannis that Kyrie is coming across half court, pulling up from three. That was Giannis that Blake Griffin dunked on. And that was KD who driving past Giannis who did the up and under. So it's really hard to win and be confident when your best player is getting torched by the other team. But I must say this for the Bucks: they ain't just losing. They getting beat. And without James Harden, it's deflating. Because when you lose game one, it's one thing. It's like, all right, fellas, we're going to respond in game two. Ain't no way they about to beat us without James Harden, especially in game two. And now they lost game two. No way the Bucks are winning 4 out of 5. The Nets are going to find a way to advance.
Okay, I'm with you. I think everyone on planet Earth is with you. But if you're Mike Budenholzer and you have to go into this thing trying. So give me an adjustment. What are you doing? What is the one thing on the floor Milwaukee has to do in game three to at least make a show of it?
Giannis has to make jump shots, Greeny. Like, the one thing about the game is he's going to be dominant in the paint on his drives, on his layups, on his dunks. But when they're leaving you wide open, you practice these shots. You have to make these shots from three, from mid-range, and from the free throw line. Because guess who are two of the best shot makers in the history of the NBA? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So when you're missing shots, they're going down on the other end, Greeny, boogieing, oohing and aahing, and then pulling up and making shots with various degrees of difficulty. But Giannis at the free throw line is struggling, which also affects him mentally. It affects the rest of the team psychologically. And also, I need to see more from Chris Middleton. In particular, in the first quarter, he looked off balance. He was struggling to attack the basket with ferocity. Like, normally Chris Middleton is smooth, and he's the opposite of loud. He gets his buckets within the offense, and I didn't see that from him. So I'm disappointed in Middleton, in Holiday, and in Giannis. But again, they're not just losing. They're getting beat, and that's two different things.
All right, so let me do one thing. For those who don't know, I once played on a basketball team that Jalen was the coach. It was a celebrity all-star game one year. You coached against Bill Simmons. I was on your team, and we won. Here's the question. I've seen your halftime motivational speech. Give me the motivation. What is one player, whoever the leader of the Milwaukee Bucks is, have to get up at practice in front of all of his teammates today and say?
Well, that person actually got to be Giannis. And also, he has his brother on the team. And here's what he got to say. Hey, guys, we can't change anything that happened in the first two games. That's on me. But you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to go out there and be a dog. I'm about to go out there and be dominant, and I'm about to dunk on everybody in the state of New York, in the city of Brooklyn. I am not settling. I know y'all see him backing up off of me and all of that. I'm just going to drive. And you know what? When I'm playing D, I'm locking in. I'm slapping the floor. I'm getting up in KD's face. And here's what you got to also do. Like, what got lost in today's game is there's no physical intimidation. Like, these guys, you can't just let them operate freely. You got to upset KD. You got to upset Kyrie. You got to have them looking at the officials. You can't just have them looking at the bucket. Because when they doing that, KD's shooting 55 from the floor, 50 from three, over 90 from the line, and averaging 35. You got to interrupt these guys. You got to be physical with these guys. And you got to play like this means everything. I re-signed for a reason. I'm dedicated to you guys. I re-signed in the offseason because I'm dedicated to you guys, and I'm going to show y'all in game three how dominant I'm about to be. Huge game for Giannis. They don't get swept. They do win game three.
Okay, there he is, Jalen Rose, who got the trivia right today and is feeling good. We'll see Jalen and Jacoby later today. Thank you, Jay. Always outstanding. And again, this is a tough morning in the state of Wisconsin because we got that last night, and now the Packers are on the practice field and Aaron Rodgers isn't. We opened the show today with Adam Schefter telling us that Rodgers is not expected to be at minicamp at all. It is the first time in his career that he has skipped the mandatory minicamp. So he's not there, but our reporter Rob Domofsky is. Rob, what is the mood at Packers camp given the specter of Aaron Rodgers' absence?
Greeny, it's status quo because no one, not even the players, not the coaches, not the front office, expected Aaron Rodgers to be here for this camp. It's been the same thing all offseason. But there is some anticipation and some excitement from this regard. It's for Jordan Love, and not just because he's going to continue being QB1, but it's that he finally gets the chance to work with his top receivers. As we've talked about before, Greeny, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and all the other returning receivers last year have been absent from the offseason program, and now they're here, so it's the chance for us all, and more importantly for the Packers, to evaluate how Love looks with those top receivers, because before today, he's really been throwing to a bunch of undrafted rookies, a bunch of street free agents, and guys that have never really performed in an NFL regular season game.
Right. So there it is, the summer of love for them. But as far as Aaron Rodgers, it continues to be the opposite. And you heard Schefter at the beginning of our show today saying that the mood, from what he understands, is that it's strong as hell, is the way Aaron Rodgers' resolve has been described as of today. So what does that mean? What is the organization's expectation about where this goes from here?
Well, look, they know how stubborn he is, and they know that there's probably not an end in sight right now. But Greeny, there doesn't have to be, because really it's June 8th, it's mini camp. There's no deadline per se for them to get something done or to resolve anything. But come late July, early August, when training camp begins, then the game of chicken becomes real. And at this point, from what I've been told, Rodgers is still dug in and is not intent on coming back here. What changes between now and then? Well, that's the question that's going to hang over Lambeau Field and the Packers practice field from now until he shows up.
All right. So, Rob, you'll be watching that practice today. You'll let us know how things go as far as Jordan Love and the receivers and everything else. Thank you. That's Rob Domofsky live in Green Bay. My crew is with us this morning here, and we are talking football. And, Tim Hasselbeck, I want to start with you on that, because you were making the point this morning that things start to change a little bit for Rodgers now, and then they'll start to change in a big way in July, when all of a sudden the receivers are there and everyone is working but him, that maybe that starts to change the mentality. Pick up that thought. I thought it was interesting.
Well, basically, you start to feel isolated at that point. You know, Aaron Rodgers, for all of the, you know, kind of disagreement that he may have with the front office or people on the coaching staff or whoever maybe he is upset with, he doesn't feel that way about his teammates. And, you know, he's had receivers not show up to voluntary work, kind of stand in arm with him. But now it doesn't make sense for them to sit out, you know, a mandatory minicamp where they can get fined. And so now Aaron's by himself. And so now I think that you can start to feel more and more isolated from the team and probably get more and more upset about the situation. So, yeah, I do think that this is, you know, we're heading to a time where this is probably going to get uglier. We're going to hear more about how great Jordan Love's doing. We're going to do all of that because it's June. And then I think once we get into training camp, it's going to heat up. And then I think that, you know, for Aaron, it's going to feel more intense. And so I think that, listen, I still think there's a resolution to all of this, but I think it's actually going to get worse before it gets better.
It's interesting because, you know, we say that, Teddy, that Rodgers is going to have to feel isolated. But his version of isolated is in Hawaii with Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller, and it's very different than a lot of people's version of being isolated. So, Teddy Bruschi, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, but deep down, he's still a football player. And Tim's exactly right when he talks about that. And I really believe the longer this goes, if the Green Bay Packers are willing to play hardball, it's going to be advantage Packers. Because when you're talking other teams, they're waiting around and waiting around. It's like, well, I don't want Aaron when it's a week before the season. I mean, because he hasn't had any chance to work with our team. And it looks like the Green Bay Packers are hell-bent on not trading him, so we got to move on. And then Aaron's going to realize this. And so, I mean, if they want to play hardball, it's got to be – the Packers have to dig their heels in because – I'm as a player, and I'm seeing they want to play hardball. I'm thinking this: well, do whatever you got to do, because if Aaron comes in here a week before training camp, he'll step in like he never left, and he'll be with this offense. So do what you can do, because winning the championship really isn't going to happen with this young quarterback that you're developing right now. So go ahead and play hardball, but do it well and do it like you mean it.
Diana, what do you have your eye on?
I'm listening to both Tim and Teddy make fantastic points, and they sound like GMs in the NFL who I've had conversations with about the Packers situation. So you guys, if this TV thing doesn't work out, you should run a front office, because this is how it's being viewed right now. And Mike, it's so funny to me too, because I get to come on the show a lot with you and we talk about the situation, and the pendulum is swinging the other way. We were on this show 2 months ago going, you know, Aaron's doing the right thing here. He deserves better. They need to trade him. And look at us now. We're all saying the same thing, which is Packers got the leverage. They can just sit back, maybe not sit back calmly, but they can make it, put it on Aaron to make the call on what he wants to do. Because either way, they look at it this way. If they trade him, they don't have him. If he sits out next year, they don't have him. Make Aaron make the move. And if that's what they decide to do, that could work out for them. They may be able to trade him eventually next season. Either way, the Packers are looking at this as, at right now, at this point, they're still going to do everything they can to try to make this work. And there is a little hope there.
Super quickly, Tim Hasselbeck, how much money did you say he has made in his career, actual dollars?
About $240 million just playing football. That's no
pretty
State
good
Farm, Greeny.
Right? When you have $240 million, you have more leverage than most people have. I get the Packers have more money, but he's got enough, at least for the moment. Let's take a break on that thought. Let me remind everybody also that a huge weekend is on the way. How about this lineup? We got soccer. We got the Euro matchup between Turkey and Italy coming up on ESPN. Then Belgium and Russia Saturday on ABC. Then Game 3 of the West semifinals between the Clippers and the Jazz is Saturday night. And we cap Saturday with UFC 263 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Oh, what a weekend. In the meantime, as we continue, the big questions fly around that man, Julio Jones. Does he take Tennessee from one place to another? And is that place the Super Bowl? We'll answer that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Oh, we are back on a crazy morning, and we recap the big news over the weekend. The Titans trading a pair of draft picks to the Falcons for Julio Jones, who will play this season at 32 and is coming off a year in which he played only 9 games, his fewest since 2013. And so that begs really what is the big question, which is, that's an enormous man. It is an enormous name. He is going to the Hall of Fame someday. But just how impactful is this move for this team? That feels like the question. And so, Diana, as you broke the story over the weekend, what was the sense you were getting from people you talked to about what impact Julio Jones has on the Titans and the totality of the AFC playoff picture?
Well, look, John Robinson, the GM, was very focused on getting this done. There were a lot of teams involved that were having conversations with the Falcons over the last week or so. It started to heat up over the weekend, but the Titans stayed focused and pretty much did whatever they could to make sure Julio could land on their team. And a lot of the reasoning is going back to that playoff game against the Ravens, when the Ravens defense did a phenomenal job of slowing Derrick Henry down. A.J. Brown was shut down, and really the Titans had no options. Corey Davis was injured, and they basically just had to rely on some backup receivers. So here they are. Now they have an added weapon on their team. Julio Jones, who also, by the way, is expected to attend minicamp next week for the Titans, so it'll be our first time seeing him in a Titans uniform. I am curious what number he's going to wear, by the way, because we know that A.J. Brown wears 11. Mm-hmm. He wears 11 in Atlanta. We'll see if he'll maybe wear 8 like he did at Alabama. But overall, the feeling from Tennessee, from talking to everyone there, is they're nothing but excited about having an added weapon at this point.
And so here's what I will say. Teddy, you tell me what you think. If Julio Jones is healthy, and that's a huge if, we mentioned he only played 9 games last year. He is at that point in his career where he's starting every now and again to see the body breaking down. But if he's healthy, with him and Brown and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, there's no reason that offense shouldn't be as good as any in the AFC, and they are an absolute legit Super Bowl contender. Teddy, am I nuts?
I don't think you're nuts. They're not going to be the offense that, you know, scores 30, 40 points a game. They're going to be the more of that offense that wants to bludgeon you. And it'll still start with Derrick Henry, and it'll be a physical offense. But Julio Jones is a physical receiver. And in those situations Diana's talking about, in those big games, Derrick Henry's not going to run for 200 yards every game. There's going to be critical 3rd-and-7s, 3rd-and-8s, where it's going to be like, okay, they're doubling A.J., Julio, you got to win. That's it. Tannehill's going to throw it up, and it's going to be either he catches it or he doesn't, and it, either if he's healthy or not. So that's what he can be. That's what this offense can be. Their attitude will not change. They just have another gamer that's tough and physical that can sort of complement who they are already. But on a one-game situation, them versus the Chiefs, late in the year, who knows what the weather's like, I think they have the style that can beat the Kansas City Chiefs if a playoff spot or a sort of advancing to a championship game is on the line.
I agree. Styles make fights, and that style is a problem. Yeah. So, Tim Hasselbeck, why are you so skeptical?
Well, I think the skepticism comes in that, you know, the role is going to be different. And I've seen it play out before. You know, guys, you know, go, you know, when they're used to being a number one guy and they go to a different scenario, it's hard to take a back seat. It's almost like playing a different game. And so now you have a player in Julio Jones who has averaged throughout his career 9.8 targets per game. Hembo sent me the stat. That is the most in NFL history. So he has been thrown to on a per game basis more than any player that's ever played wide receiver in the NFL before. Now he's going to go to a team that has a defensive end playing tailback that they love handing the football to, and an up-and-coming wide receiver who is absolutely amazing. He's one of the, you know, rising stars in the National Football League, who's the number one. And so when you look at it and you say, okay, the number one on the team a year ago had 106 targets, what is this going to feel like for Julio to be a guy that's, you know, listen, in some games, maybe he doesn't get targeted. I was saying earlier, you know, maybe he gets 3 balls thrown his way and has 1 catch. Like, how is that going to sit for a guy that's used to seeing 10 balls thrown his way every single game?
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's all on Vrabel. Yeah. That's all on Vrabel. Can Vrabel manage that personality?
And that's the head coach and Teddy, your old teammate. But I wanted to wrap it up with one very interesting thing today. Guys, you'll find this fascinating. I was listening as we were doing our microphone checks earlier this morning, and Diana Russini and Adam Schefter were having a conversation. And I overheard something that I am going to share. Diana, where were you when you broke this news over the weekend?
Okay, so I'm really trying to step away from the stigma that I'm like the typical Italian New Jersey girl that just hangs out at the Jersey Shore. But I was in Atlantic City for a bachelorette party that I'm way too old to attend. But it was for my sister-in-law, so I had to go. And I reached out to a couple sources before I left for the trip and said, look, this is a little unprofessional, but I just need you to be honest here. I have to go to this bachelorette party. I'm not going to be present on my phone. Is this Julio thing going down? Everyone said the same thing. Go have fun. It ain't going down this weekend. Well, I'm at the roulette table on Saturday night around 11 p.m., and I hit on black 11. And I look at my sister-in-law, Karen, and I go, that's Julio. Something's up. I'm a witch. And I knew something was up, and I reached out to a couple of sources, and they said, get ready. This thing is going down in the morning. And when I wound up talking to Schefter, he had no idea. I didn't want to tell Schefter I was in Atlantic City when this was all happening because I wanted to seem like a pro, Teddy, you know? And meanwhile, Schefter is, you know, at home, at his office, working hard with me. And we were able to share information, and we pulled the trigger. So this is the first time in my life I've ever been in a casino, breaking, you know, a pretty big story.
What do you think, Teddy?
How much was the bet on Black 11?
It was $5. And the best part is, my sister-in-law, Karen, says, come on, let's go. I go, no, we're going because I have to call people. We're not going. You got to play big to win big. We got to put more money down. But it was probably smart I walked away because I got some cash in my pocket, Teddy.
There you go. So that's at a bachelorette party in Atlantic City, Diana Russini breaks the big story of the football month. Well done. We got a lot more to do here. And then, of course, don't forget, First Take comes next. Kevin Durant and the Nets. Are they too good or Giannis and the Bucks just too bad? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debate that and more. It's First Take, and they're 5 minutes away on ESPN.